Beyond Athletic, episode 26.
To take that decision to go to US, it was, I needed to find my way, you know, like to find my path. And I had that feeling that it was not going to be in France. Je suis Antoine Beneteau et je suis un Beyond Athletic.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are Beyond Athletic. What's up, Beyond Athletic Nation? Today's guest is a current journalist for L'Equipe 21 in France. He is a former ATP professional and former NCAA All-American, Antoine Beneteau. This is just a great podcast with Antoine. We talk about his biggest struggles. We talk about times that he did or didn't take chances, his proudest moments, what made him decide to go to school in America, and if he thinks his degree from University of Florida has helped him so far in life and why it has. He tells us a lot, and I mean, some of the key things that you're gonna take away from this is that all athletes go through some type of injury where you're gonna miss a little bit or a lot of competition. And we talk about when in moments of a match or a game that you have to make a big decision in a short amount of time that you've gotta stay calm and fight through it. Anyways, don't wanna go on too long here. There's much more in this episode. You're going to enjoy it a ton. Make sure you tweet me at Ryan J. Owens. Show some love. And today I just want to give one shout out. And this shout out is going to Gabby Koeva of Bulgaria. She plays for the national volleyball team of Bulgaria. She's also one of the mentors through Elite Sports Students, which you'll hear about in this episode and every episode. But she has to say 5 stars. Listen to the interviews with current and former professional athletes. I find them very helpful being a professional athlete myself. Plus, you get to hear real life stories of many inspiring people in the volleyball world. Enjoy and thank you, RJO, for putting this together. You're very welcome. And there you have it, listeners. I mean, you're going to hear tons of volleyball players, but you're going to hear so many other athletes like Antoine Beneteau. So without any further ado, enjoy. Hello everyone, Ryan J. Owens here. Today is another athlete case study where athletes learn to be great in sport and life. You get to go beyond just being your typical athlete, and today's featured guest is Antoine Beneteau. Antoine, are you ready to share your story and go beyond just being an athlete?
Oh yes, I am ready.
I'm happy to have you on. Listen, I'm so actually honored that you responded and you really wanted to do this, because there's probably like maybe 3% of the people that I write really are just like, I want to do it. And you're one of them. So thank you so much for that.
Well, you're welcome. I'm very happy to share with you guys. I'm just very happy to do it.
I'm going to give everybody just a brief bio on you. You are, as of today, a TV journalist for a French sports channel called L'Equipe 21. You were born in, I'm going to try this in French. My French accent is not so great, but Bourg-en-Bresse, close to Lyon, France, and that was in 1986, and currently you're living in Paris, You graduated from the University of Florida, go Gators, with a business management degree. You were an All-American, and your best ATP ranking in singles was 370th in the world. You won 3 tournaments as ATP futures. And you also played in the French Open twice at 16 and 17 years old. So there's just a brief overview of what you've done so far. Why don't you take a moment to just share a bit more about you personally and then expand upon where you are now in your life and your goals?
Well, as you said, I I went to college, University of Florida. I went there a bit old. I was 20 when I 21 when I went to Gainesville, and well, after my college career, which was an amazing experience, and I met some great people and some great coaches. I spent four of my best years there and be part of a team and be part of a great program with the Gators, and it was great for me. And when I graduated with my degree and with my degree in my pocket, I wanted to still play, and so that's when I went pro, and I tried to play for a bit more than 3 years. And well, I reached that ranking of 370 ATP in the world, and I was in a moment in my life where when I was not getting younger, you know, I was 27 years old, 28 years old, and the money can be tough in the tennis, so I wanted to, well, to do something else. And while I was playing, I started to write a blog about tennis and the backstage of tennis, and that's how I got into journalism. And now I'm doing some school to be a TV journalist, and at the same time I'm working for the channel that you said called L'Equipe 21, and it's been 3 months so far, and it's an amazing experience.
Yeah, I actually have heard of that channel, and I know that it's one of the bigger, if not one of the biggest, maybe the biggest. It's pretty big there in France.
Well, it is big because it's the only 100% sports channel in France. It's the only one, and it's on free TV. You know, like you don't have to buy any access, so everybody has access to it. And so if you want some news about sports, well, that's the channel you want to go.
So Antoine, before we get into today's topics, like lessons from your failures, you know, we're going to go into your aha moments when things just were really clear on your path and in your life and sport. I'd just like you to share a favorite quote or mantra of yours.
Well, it's a sentence by the French author called René Char. And it says in French, well, I'm not going to say it in French, but I'm going to translate it.
Oh, no, please go ahead. Say it in French first.
So in French, it's impose ta chance, serre ton bonheur et va vers ton risque. À te regarder, ils s'habitueront. And it means you have to impose your chance to serve your happiness and go towards your risk. Because when the other people are watching you doing that, they will get used to it. And that's a sentence that once my best friend told me, and she was not in sports, but she was in a lux area, you know, like working for luggages and stuff. And it's a great quote. I think it works for everybody and in every area. So I kept it, and I try to make it mine every day.
Yeah, and for people out there listening, I mean, this is fantastic. And you know, one of those, I really believe that in life, athletes are so well equipped for life because of the things that we have to do and the skills we have to pick up in order to be great at what we do. And it doesn't surprise me that René Char was a former rugby player. I mean, he turned out to be one of the more classic and well-known French poets, but mm-hmm. he also played rugby. He was an athlete. So, and just to give people a takeaway from me, when I see this, I just say, you know, it just says, follow your passion, take risks in life. And you know what? Other people are going to see that and they're going to follow along. So just don't be afraid. I love that. So one of the things I like to ask my guests is, what are you most grateful for today?
Well, I think I'm the most grateful for today, and that I had the luck to go through all the experiences that I went through, you know, like I had great people along my way, great coaches. My first coach that taught me to how to play tennis. And you know, I left my home when I was 13 and went to a French Federation Academy to play tennis. And it was tough. I had also the chance that my parents allowed that, you know, for me to leave that early. And I lived my passion like beyond what I imagined. And tennis took me to University of Florida. You know, I went there on full scholarship, and I was, you know, in one of the best schools of the country, and I had a great coach over there, great teammates. And even now, you know, tennis took me to a TV channel. You know, like it's just I think I'm grateful that I'm pretty lucky with the people that I met along the road, you know.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned this, and it's so common that the people that I have on, they mention mentors as one of the things that they're most grateful for, because we can't do it alone, you know. And what I'd like to ask you is, who were some of your biggest mentors so far in life and in sport, and just briefly, why were each important to you?
Well, first I would say my brother, because my brother Julien is you know, is a much better tennis player than I was. He's 25 in the world right now. He's in Australia playing, getting ready for the Australian Open. He played the Davis Cup final in December and lost to Switzerland. And that was, you know, like, he's my older brother. He was my role model, you know, like a big inspiration. As well, I would say once again, my coach when I left my parents when I was 13 years old, because, you know, he has to be more than a coach when you're this young. He has to be a second dad, and he has to teach you stuff on court, but a lot of stuff off court, and that's one of my mentors as well.
Yeah, I love that you pointed out that he has to teach you stuff on the court and off the court, because this is so important that we're balanced as people, you know, not just athletes on the court. So,
now
we're going to dive into the positive stuff, you know, all of the things I talked about, like some of your accomplishments and this great little story about now you're with this new profession and you're loving it. I know we talked a little bit in the pre-show about it, but could you just take us back, because we all struggle. You know, and let's learn how you struggled, because we all have to do it to succeed. And share one of the biggest struggles or failures with us. Take us back to that moment. I want to feel it. I want to see it. I want to be there. And just tell us what you learned from that lesson.
It was my second year in Florida, and I was playing well, and I was, you know, like playing number one doubles, number three singles. I was the oldest because I came there older, and I was kind of, you know, one of the captains of the team. And during the season, you know, I remember like it was yesterday. We play LSU, and during the warm up, I feel a strong pain in my lower stomach. And well, I played it through during that match, and we beat LSU. But after the match, I remember like hurting a lot, and I didn't know at that point. But I just I had a sports hernia, and so we didn't know that. And I was practicing after that, and I was not feeling the pain, and then I was it was hurting really bad. And basically, I could play during the team matches. I could play only a set or two, and then I couldn't walk anymore, you know. And so I played the rest of, I think it was middle of the season. I played the rest of the season like that, because, you know, the team was counting on me and the coach was counting on me. And I remember we're playing Miami to go to the Sweet 16 NCAA. And I was playing a guy that I was supposed to beat, you know, like, and I win the first set. And, you know, in tennis, college tennis, you play the six singles at the same time, so you can follow the path of the score, you know, like at the same time. And it was going well, and I see some matches that are turning around, and Miami start to win those, and actually my sports hernia started to hurt really bad, and you know, I could barely walk. And I finished that match, but I lost, and I couldn't walk, and we ended up like losing that match, and we didn't go to the Sweet 16, you know. And it was I remember that pain, you know, like I mean my body was hurting, but my mind was hurting even more. And I remember that I never wanted to feel that again. So what I did is that I took some days off, and I went to holidays in France, but I shortened them, and I went to Philadelphia to see a specialist, and I got surgery, and I worked hard every day, you know, with my rehab on that sports hernia to come back stronger, and which I did, and which we did as a team, because the year after I think we lost Eric Eight in the NCAAs, and I mean, coming back from that injury was one of my worst struggles, and feeling that it was tough, because tennis is usually an individual sport, but in college sports, you know, you're a team, and I felt that even though it was not my fault, but somehow I let down the team, and I never wanted to feel that again.
Yeah, there's a lot of takeaways in that, and you know, at some point, every athlete is going to go through some type of injury where either it keeps them out for just a little bit and they miss something important, or it keeps them out for a long time. And I just want to highlight a couple of things you said, because they're great takeaways. You know, you said that at some point you had felt the pain, and pretty much this whole time you're really ignoring the fact that maybe I should go get this checked out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And then you're feeling this pressure, like, you know, my team is counting on me, my coach is counting on me, I'm counting on me, you know, mm-hmm. And your body's hurting, you said, but your head was hurting, your mind was hurting more. And I think that's so important, because on a psychological level, we want to do the best we can. And when we're held back by our bodies, it's such a stressful thing. So it's so important to do what you did after that, which is go seek a specialist and go figure out how to rehabilitate yourself. And like you said, to come back stronger, better. Mm-hmm. So great takeaways. Thanks so much for sharing that. Now,
you're welcome.
I know we're talking about a time where, you know, you had some big struggle. I want to talk really quickly about a time that you took a chance, or you didn't take a chance, and you made a mistake, and what you learned from that. Especially, try and find some time that was really important, like point or situation for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember that time when I was playing pro in tennis, and I play a Canadian player named Vasek Pospisil. He's now 30 in the world right now, something like that. And when I played him, he was 80 in the world, and I was around my best ranking, and it was a big match for me, and I had too much points against him, and on one of them I took a chance on a second serve, you know, and went for a big serve on second serve, and I double faulted on one of them. And you know, like, it's sometimes when you're on the court, you have to make big decisions in short time, and that's what tennis is about, and I think in general sports. And well, I did some great choices in my career. I did some bad choices, but that was probably a bad choice.
Yeah. And why would you say, because I like that you highlighted that, yes, in sports, you have to make a lot, and sometimes right after another, like one, two, three,
exactly,
big decisions in such a short time. And so thinking back on that, what would you have done differently?
Well, probably I was getting nervous, you know, and I didn't, you know, like, I didn't want to fight, you know, with this point. I wanted to win it quickly, and because it was a very important point for me and the rest of my career. It was an opportunity to beat my first top 100 in the world, you know, ever. And going back, maybe I would say, okay, do the same like you did the whole match. Put the second serve in and fight your way through during the point, you know, like, maybe I wanted to rush to a little bit too much. But,
yeah,
you know, that's something you have to deal with it, you know.
Yeah, I love that. And I hope everybody heard that. But just do the same as you already have been doing to get you where you already were, which is leading, and then
Exactly.
fight. I love that. And that's so important. That's a great takeaway for people. So let's talk about now a little more positive side. What was, let's say, the moment you realized in your life, this is how I should be, this is how I should do what I want to do to get to where I want to be? Let's say a light bulb moment.
Well, it's maybe funny for the people that are listening that, but it's a surprise for me, but it's not on tennis court. It's when I actually graduated from Florida, you know, during the graduation ceremony. And I mean, when you because when you walk towards in the it was in the Odom in the O'Connell Center in Gainesville, you know, the basketball venue, and you walk in that center, and I look back for the 4 years that I just lived in Florida, and it was a big achievement. And I told myself, well, you did great. And I hesitated to go to Florida, to go to college. And when I look back over those 4 years, when I was walking towards the scene, you know, like, I said, well, that was a great choice. And so I said to myself, well, you can keep trusting yourself, because you're currently making the right choices in your life, you know.
Yeah, I love that, man. I love it, Antoine. Keep trusting yourself. I mean, think about how many times, honestly, think about how many times we feel something is right, not only in our mind, but in our heart. And then we don't do it, and we end up saying, damn it, why didn't I do that? And so here you are, you said you hesitated. What should I go? And then now you're walking across the stage, and you're reflecting on 4 years of university, all the sports, the people you met, the hard classes, getting that degree. And you can just say, wow, I did it. And now I just got to keep trusting myself, because I'm making right decisions. So
yeah,
I love that. And I don't know, that sounds like that's up there with one of the proudest moments of your life. But why don't you share another one of the proudest moments in your life so far that stands out?
You know, like, I traveled a lot around the world to play tennis, and my proudest moment is when I was back to France and practicing there, and I went all the way to Mexico to play, you know, 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And I go there, and I'm in Guadalajara, and that's when I won my first tournament, my first ATP future. And I mean, all the matches, all 5 matches, were tough. And, but it was, I was in a building process, you know, I was taking each step at a time, each match at a time. And it led me through the title. And that was when I won. And, you know, it was kind of also a funny situation, because I was all across the world, far from friends, from coach, from family, and I'm by myself, but I'm so happy that I'm living this moment. And it was just, you know, like, it's also some moments when you can tell to yourself, well, I'm on the right track, you know, like, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. I see this being a recurring thing in your life so far, and it's so important. I know I just talked yesterday with Dino Matsan, who plays tennis for Croatia, and one of the things we talked about is, I think one of his failures or something to do with that, his struggles, had to be when he wasn't patient, kind of like during that really important point where you risk more than you normally would have. And I love that you mentioned, you know, it's a building process. You want to take one step at a time and just get a little bit further and a little bit further, instead of looking at the finish line and then tripping before it, you know? Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing that. And one of the things I'd love to ask you now is, you know, this podcast, I love highlighting people that take risks in their life. And you took a big risk going to America, leaving your family once again.
Yeah.
You know, what made you decide, let's say, to go to school in the US? And then why don't you just highlight a few really key details that made the difference between your opportunity in France and your opportunity in America? And then what you took away from all of that that you wouldn't have if you didn't go?
Well, in France, I graduated from high school. I was 18 and I started to play a little bit of the ATP circuit, tennis, and, you know, it didn't work out. And somehow I was losing myself. I think it was just not the right time for me, you know. And, well, I had this opportunity and to go to Florida. And to be frank, I had no idea about sports, college sports, and also, like, if Florida was a good school, was a great school, or was a okay school, you know. Like, I just talked to a coach, and it was through emails, and at that time, internet was not as good as it is now, so I could see, a little bit of pictures, but it was not, like, as good as it is now. Mm-hmm. And, well, I just, you know, like, once again, maybe it's luck, but I trusted myself and say, okay, well, what are you going to do in France? You know, like, so I say, okay, go. Even if it doesn't work, at least you make a choice. And also, that I think it's what life is about. It's about making choices. And I think that nothing can go wrong if you take choices, because even if you make bad choices, like it takes a lot to make choices, so it's always positive in that way. And when I arrived there, you know, like, I couldn't believe my eyes that I made the right choice, and then I met great people, and, well, you know, everything, you know, fell in the right place at the right time. And what they took me to take that decision to go to US, it was I needed to find my way, you know, like to find my path. And I had that feeling that it was not going to be in France.
Yeah. And just highlight a few of the differences between the structure, let's say, in America and your experience. Yeah. And France.
Well, the college sports in the US, you cannot compare them to the college sports in France. You know, in France, it just barely exists. You have universities where you can play for and do the school at the same time in France, but it's not as in the same conditions that I did them in Florida. You know, like, when you're a top school in Florida, like Florida and like many others in the country, you know, it's you practice every day in the best conditions. You have all the medical staff around you to help you stay healthy and improve, and you travel in great conditions as well. I mean, we took private planes, we took rockstar buses, we had the great gear, we had, I mean, you know, it was just amazing to be part of that program, you know. And in France, that's we don't have the same kind of equipment, and we don't have the same kind of financial resources, you know?
Yeah. And do you think your degree at University of Florida has helped you so far in your life, and will in the future, more than if you didn't get it?
Well, of course, because if I didn't have my degree in from University of Florida, I wouldn't be able to be in my journalism school, because it's a master. So, first of all, and second of all, I wouldn't be a TV journalist, because also I needed to be in that journalism school to be part of that TV channel. So, well, I wouldn't do the job that I love right now, you know?
Yeah. I love that. So basically, you know, we'll get in a little bit to how you thought about these things, because obviously you gave thought to it and you're like, okay, what path should I take? And I want to outline this for people listening, because not just for the young athletes out there. I mean, I'm 34. I'm still a professional athlete. You know, I was playing for Team USA last year, mm-hmm. even. And it's not like But I realized more now than ever in these last few years, this could always end at any point, and I need to have some plan in place. And so what I love about you is that, unlike a lot of athletes, that, for instance, their pro career is very short compared to their lives. And then you have the stats in America, for instance, like in 2 to 5 years of retiring, 60 to 78% of all football, baseball, and basketball players are going to be broke, divorced, or unemployed. And 36% or more break the law. I mean, come on, man. So having a plan, they obviously didn't have one. And this is how you can end up like this. So you should definitely plan like Antoine did. And what I want to do now is ask you about today. Bring us to present day. What's got you most excited these days, and what direction are you going in the future?
I'm very excited to go every day and work, to be honest, because that's something that I like. I'm a hard worker, and you know, like when you've been an athlete, a pro athlete, and you've been able to manage schedules also when you were in college with school and tennis or sports in general. And that's what I like about my new life, is just, even though I'm working for a TV channel, I'm doing a lot of other stuff, you know, like I'm preparing a book, I'm starting maybe to work on a radio, and so, you know, like I have a lot of projects, and that's also why I chose that job, you know, journalism, because you can do so much different things, you know, like it's not like I'm only a TV journalist, you know, and to be able to call myself a journalist is also a pride, and what also makes me very excited.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, let's dive a little bit more into that, because it's really interesting that you said, and I've given some thought to this, and I think it's fantastic, because if you can share your story or what you've learned with people, it's one of the greatest things you can give back to not just your sport, but just to people in life. And so let's talk a little bit more about why you would want to write a book.
I want to write a book because I think that a journalist plays a role, you know, in our societies today, you know, like, and sometimes some of the people that go on TV, they forget that they have a role as a journalist, you know, like journalist is not just here to pass on the news and just to, you know, to give the facts, and it also gives an analysis and a perspective. And me being a former tennis player, I think that I can talk about tennis, you know, and with the journalism formation, that gives me the tools to be able to talk about that sport the best way that I can. And so that's why I want to write a book about tennis, and it's all about the French Federation and the French where we are right now, and where we are going to, and you know, kind of that stuff. And that's very important for me, and to be able to share those thoughts, and also to be able to include interviews with my former colleagues and my former coaches and some other professionals from the sport.
Yeah, I love that. A journalist has responsibility to do more and share your thoughts and your knowledge.
Exactly.
I love that. I would love to read the book someday. I'm sure it'll be in French, but that's okay, because I understand. Yeah. Je comprends. Petit peu français.
Okay.
So
I'll send it to you.
Awesome, man. And I'll send you mine, because it's definitely going to be just about traveling around and all this stuff that we learn and see, because it's so amazing. Listen, you've shared so much up until now. And what I want to do now is I kind of want to equip people, because like we said, we've learned so much on our journey, right? So what we're going to do now is we're going to go into Antoine's tip jar. And I'm going to go through about 6 or 7 things that I'd like to just get some quick fire answers for, maybe a quick reason why. All right.
All right.
So what's the best advice you've ever received?
Someday a coach told me, do today what can make you better today. And I try to have that motto every day.
Do today what can make you better today. I like that. And what's one of the first things when you were playing that you liked to do when you came to a new arena to play?
I wanted to take a time and go see the courts and feel the atmosphere of the venues, you know, like where when I play a tennis tournament, I like to have my spots, so I went to recognize those spots.
Yeah. And what personal habits do you believe contributed most to your success?
It was when the night before a match, I always took some 5, 10, 15 minutes in my bed and visualizing what was going to happen the day after, you know.
Yeah. And I'd love to just take a second really quick to say, visualizations are one of the most important things, and it's not just in sport. I mean, you as a journalist, you could visualize, like for instance, when you want to tell a story, you've got to be able to put yourself in those situations. When you want to like accomplish something, like you could imagine yourself signing autographs of your book in the future. Whatever goals you have, wherever you want to be, think about it. And then whatever skills you want to get better at, visualize those skills and improve them. Let's say you see yourself doing something poorly, keep doing it over and over until you can see yourself doing it well. So great tips, bud. And how long were you sleeping? And what's your morning ritual?
I was sleeping around 8 hours and per night, and my morning ritual was always the first thing, a sip of fresh water.
I love this. There's only been a couple people that have said this so far, but one of the smartest things in the world to do, the most healthy thing to do, is have some water right away in the morning. So important. So, and name one way you like to improve yourself as a person.
I'd like to be more effective in what I do, you know, like I said, I'm going towards several directions, and so far, because I'm starting, it takes a bit of time, and I want it, you know. So maybe it's a sign that I need to be more patient, so maybe a bit more patient.
We all can learn, you know, like different things to just improve ourselves because it's so important that we do get better every day. Because if we don't, we're gonna lose whatever we already had. So, could you share with us like an online or offline resource that you like to use to improve yourself?
It's an offline resource. It's with a book that I like to read again and again. It's called L'Étranger by Albert Camus. It means the stranger, and the main character is just he's a guy that sees the world very simply, and that's something that I like to remind myself when, you know, so we think about our personal problems and stuff, and sometimes we make a big deal of it, you know, like. And when I read this book, I get more calm, and I say, okay, either take your time, and it's related with patience, I guess.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that book. And people out there, you know, if you're not reading already, find some time to read. And if you don't have time to read, find the audiobook. A lot of these books are online and you can find audio versions for free even sometimes, or you can get a membership. Like there's a great site called audible.com. So that's audible.com. And I'm not affiliated with them anyway, but it's a fantastic resource to get free. Well, you pay a subscription, but ebooks, so, and their audio. Listen, I know we talked a little bit about tips, and now I want to move more into like kind of a value section because one of the most important things to me, and the reason why I do this show, Antoine, is because I'd like to give back. Because there's been so many people like you that you had your brother and you had your mentors and family and friends that supported you. And they gave you so much, and it's really important that we give back. So, normally I'd love to ask you what book you'd give away as a gift, but I already know which one. So, I'm gonna put down The Stranger by Albert Camus. Is it Camus or Camus?
Yeah, Camus is Camus.
I'm going to put that all in the show notes, so anybody listening, you're going to be able to find everything that we're talking about in the show notes when this launches. But could you just share with us right now, because adding value to other people is so important by sharing your time, your knowledge, or even your love. And is there some special program, cause, organization, or just in general, some way that you like to add value to other people?
Well, when I stopped playing tennis, some players came to me and asked me advices and also asked me to coach them, and that's something that I like to share with those players, because I went through some very tough times as a tennis player, some great but some tough ones, and I think that's why we have that feeling. And you said that it's important to give back. It's because I think we all have that feeling that things can go bad, and we all have been there, and so we want to share that, and we want to say, hey, it's okay, I've been there, you are there right now, but everybody has been there, you know, and that's important to do that. And I mean, what you're doing right now with this podcast is a great thing, I think, and that was my way when I coached a little bit the players that I coached, or the advices that I gave to some friends and colleagues. That was my way also to giving back and to say, well, you know, you're doing great, and like we said, it's a long process, but it's a great process. So
yeah,
that's important to remind people that.
Yeah. I love that. Just remembering that other people are going to go through the struggles that you went through. And it's so important that we are there to say, hey, I've been through it, I can help you if you want.
Exactly.
So what I'd like to ask you now, I mean, it's not normally something that I'm asking, but I think it's really important because you seem like a man with a plan. And you've talked about it. What are some tips for listeners out there, you know, that they can say, okay, I want to use sport and I want to do more with my life? How can they start planning that and then putting that plan into action, just really quickly?
What gave me a plan is that when I was doing my sport and was being when I was a professional tennis player, I was not just a professional tennis player. I was also a man that liked to read, like to listen to music, like to read newspapers. And that's when you keep yourself interested by other stuff than your sports. That's how I got my plan, you know. That's how I got interested by other things and by journalism, for example. Mm-hmm. But it can be anything, and it can be playing an instrument, it can be reading, it can be in marketing, it can be in entrepreneurship, you know, like there are so many ways that are related with sports that if you keep yourself interested, that's how I think you're going to figure out a plan.
Yeah, I love that, man. These are serious, serious value bombs. And I hope anybody that's listening, just tap that little 15 second back button if you're listening on iTunes, because that's so, so important what you said, man. And it resonates with me, and I love it, because people out there just realize that sport that you're playing, it's your passion, and let it be just that. Everything Exactly. does not revolve around that. And if you win or lose, it's just another experience to get better and do what you love. But you got to do stuff outside of that. So great tips. And I'd love to take a moment just to say, Elite Sports Students, the project that I have to help mentor, tutor, and get exposure to kids that normally wouldn't get it, to help them, even if they just want to stay in their country and get better at their sport and make a plan for their lives, you know, go sign up beyondathletic.com/ESS. And then what you'll do is you'll be on my mailing list to get in touch with mentors like Antoine, you know, who can say, hey, here's what I did in these situations, and this might be the best answer for you. So one time a month, and I know that you're interested in doing something like that. And I would love to have you on board, Antoine, because with just like 15, 20 minutes a month, man, we can answer questions for kids around the world. and give them some chance more than they have. So, all right, before we tell listeners how they can connect with you personally or follow along on your journey, I'd like to just do two more things and we're going to wrap up.
All right.
So what I'm going to do is, Antoine, I'm going to give you a do-over for your athletic career, okay? And the reason being is because you learned so much. We talked about that. And just think, you're going to go back, okay? Back to when you were 13 and you're just starting. You're going to leave home. But now you know everything that you know now. You have the same resources that you had when you were 13. But now you know all those things. Plus you have a podcast like this with people like yourself in the future. What would you do differently to set yourself up for success and plan?
I think I was taking stuff too seriously. Let me explain that. I was the kind of player that cared so much about what I was doing that I was getting very nervous, and that nervosity like gave me some problems during my journey as a professional tennis player. So I would do exactly the same thing with the same patient, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would be less stressed, and I think I understood too late that I was doing the right things and that I could trust myself. I think I would trust myself would have confidence in me earlier in my during my career.
Mm-hmm. And would it have helped you to have mentors that you could listen to, like on a bi-weekly podcast like this? How would that have helped you?
Oh yeah, that would help me. I mean, I had a couple when I was younger. You know, like couple sportsmen came to our academy and talked to us about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, but. The thing is that when you're when you're in your own journey and you try to improve every day and you try to be the best, but well, sometimes you forget stuff and also you forget yourself. So that's something that needs to be reminded over and over. And if you're doing the right things at the right time, if you're practicing well, if you're having the right lifestyle, if you're that's something that you cannot go wrong. I mean, then you can just show up at the competition day and then give your best. Yeah. But that's something that I had problem to do that because sometimes I would forget what mentors have told me.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be great to have a reminder weekly, let's say, in your pocket. So, you know, and I'll just take a second to say, anyone that's not listening to this on a mobile device that hasn't subscribed on like Stitcher or iTunes, do it today, because every time an episode comes out, it's coming out, it's free, it'll download automatically. You'll have mentors that you can surround yourself around and learn everything that you want to learn, not just about sports, from the lessons from athletes in all kinds of sports, because we all have lessons to learn from any athletes, but you'll learn from experts like the upcoming movement expert that I'm having on, Kelly Starrett, this month, who's a best-selling author on the New York Times list, and more people like that. So make sure you use this tool, because you can have mentors in your life, but it doesn't hurt to have as many as possible. So
also, if I can add just a last thing, is that the good thing about that podcast is also sometimes you hear stuff from mentors and they just don't, match what you expect. And because there are many mentors on this podcast, then sometimes you're going to hear a message from someone that works better for you. That's also a great thing about that podcast.
I love that you pointed that out. It's so important that you click with the mentor that you have. So important. So listen, Beyond Athletic is more about using sport as a vehicle, and along your journey that there's many stops on your destination to what you want to have. And a successful life, I just want people out there to remember, success is achieving whatever you set out to achieve. It's not what other people do. It's what your goals are. So if you work hard for your own goals, then you'll be successful. So knowing all of the things that we talked about And knowing that there's a stat that I love to highlight because it just makes me a little sad to know that knowing all those bad stats about athletes, because a lot of them are true. And unless we do something about it, it's not going to change. But 1 out of 5 children from 7 to 13 years old say an athlete is their role model. And so what I want to do is I don't want them to define themselves as just athletes in the future, like we talked about. So Antoine, what would be your definition of an athlete?
I think an athlete is someone that has the chance to live his passion and to earn his life with it, and is able to know that and to be humble about it and to enjoy it, and is not someone that goes beyond that he knows what it is, and that's something I think that makes an athlete.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. And Antoine, I'd like to turn it over to you now. So why don't you share just some parting pieces of wisdom, because you've shared a ton already, and then how listeners can connect with you or follow you through social media, and then we can say goodbye.
First thing, I would say that this was a great experience for me, and also it makes me remember my university years, and so I thank you for that. And now I would say that what we talk about is just like we can see that we are athletes that love sports and that have a sport has a sport as a passion, but also we're human beings with feelings and with stuff that can go wrong, and it's okay if stuff goes wrong. It's okay. We have to remember that being also an athlete, I mean, it can be a solution, you know, in life. And when you have personal problems, being an athlete can be very helpful, because you learn so much being an athlete. You learn how to practice every day, to make a lot of choices every day in a short period of time. You learn how to multitask and to be able to manage different schedules. You can travel around. You can speak another language. I mean, there are so many things that you can do as an athlete that are going to help you as a human being. And so to finish, everybody out there that is listening and wants to get in touch with me, you can write me on by emails at abeneteau@gmail.com. So I spell it abeneteau@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Antoine Beneteau. And you can follow me on Instagram also at Antoine Beneteau as well.
All right. So, and I'm going to link all those up in the show notes.
All right, perfect.
Listen, thanks so much for being on the show. And yes, you're welcome. And really, a huge thank goes out to you, because my goal is to help beyond a million current and future athletes to use sport as a vehicle, like I said, and discover just so much more about life and success, mm-hmm. and to leave legacies, and not just for their own families, but for the world, because we should be global citizens, not just local citizens. And I want to just acknowledge you for a second, Antoine, for being a super hard worker. You're obviously very intelligent and very inspirational, because you have taken so many risks and you have so many plans, and just your outlook is so fantastic. And I'm sure everyone listening to this today has just taken away so many different value bombs. So thank you so much for that. And I appreciate everything you're doing, and I look forward to having a friendship in the future, bud.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time and for doing this. Really, it's a great thing. I'm very happy that I participated a little bit.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye. I'm Antoine Beneteau, and I'm a Beyond Athletic.
Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us, and share the love. Think of one person that could benefit, and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at @beyondathletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
I'm going to show you how great I am. And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.